unique in that it's also, we get a bonus this year, it's Shabbos Rosh Chodesh. Yeah. It's not often that you have, not every year do we have Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh, and Chanukah, three events coinciding, all in one shot. It's the longest Birchos HaMazon you can possibly say. Okay, it's a very long Birchos HaMazon. You have to really, you know, get ready for it. You have to really before Shabbos, you have to prepare to understand. For some bizarre reason, many have a very hard time with Birchos HaMazon, a very difficult time saying the words. I don't know why, myself included, but there's this mental block about Birchos HaMazon. This week, you have to really brace yourself. Okay, get into the mood. Get into the mood of Birchos HaMazon. It's the longest Birchos HaMazon you can possibly say. You have to say Ritzei, Yalav Yavo, and Al Hanisim. And you should look at it as... I said, we'd say, Yalev Yav Al Hanisim, and you really have to look at this as an awesome opportunity. Don't, even if the whole year round, you just, you mumble through it, not this Shabbos. This Shabbos, you put a lot of stop signs, and you make a ceremony out of it. It is an incredible opportunity to say all three within the framework of Birchos HaMazon. Let me explain to you. The davening, you say, but the Shemona Esrei, but the Shemona is a short Shemona Esrei. So you're saying Yismach Moshe. Okay, you're saying Yismach Moshe. You're not saying a long Shemona Esrei. So during the weekday, you know, you have a long Shemona Esrei. But so even though you're saying Yalav Yavo and Alanisim, but the Shemona Esrei compensates because it's a Shabbos Shemona Esrei. Okay, you're saying Ato Yotzarta. It's a different Shemona Esrei. But the Birchos HaMazon is unique, because it's the regular Birchos HaMazon plus a Yalav Yavo plus a Ritzei plus an Al Hanisim. Now let me try to go and elaborate in a little bit of a nasty way. Every time you have three Sifrei Torah, I don't mean to be chas v'shel nasty, but every time you have three Sifrei Torah. So you're gonna get, I know tomorrow or today we're gonna start seeing the WhatsApps, even though my phone has completely died, so I don't know if we're going to have a phone altogether, but we're going to start seeing these messages. Do you know that this Shabbos, there are three Sifrei Torah? They're going to quote you some Sifrei Kabbalah that you never heard of before. It's going to tell you that when you open up the Urin HaKodesh to take out three Sifrei Torah, it's an Eis Rotzon. It's an Eis Rotzon, and it is. Okay, so... All right, so whatever, it doesn't matter. It's his mind. You're going to learn from three Sifrei Torah, and you should take advantage of this unique Eis Rotzon. It says this in a Sefer Kabbalah that you never heard of before. I never heard of before. Whatever it is, I'm going to get 20 of these messages tomorrow or today. Tomorrow during the Shabbos, there are three Sifrei Torah, and when they open up the Oroin, it's his man of Rachamim. And everyone should be mispalel. And if you want, send us a check. We'll do it for you. Kuba Sair, we'll do it for you. And the truth is, if a good rabbi, I would assume, would actually stop the oil and say, Rabbi Sai, it's Taka and Esra, so it's unique. And you know what you should do? We should say the Berich Shemei, word for word, with Kavana. Maybe the rabbi will give a little bit of introduction, what it says in the Berich Shemei. It is such a beautiful prayer, the Berich Shemei. Unfortunately, we swallow it up. We don't even say this, that. It will be kedai tomorrow on Shabbos to say the Berich Shemei with kavana, slowly. Say later. Just like the L'shem Yichud for Tfilin. If you don't say the L'shem Yichud for Tfilin before you put on Tfilin, you should say it after. You can say it after davening. No harm done to say the L'shem Yichud after davening when you're wearing the Tfilin. If you can't say before davening, enough time. It's kedai tomorrow to say the Brich Shmei with a lot of kavana. Okay, I'm Baruch Hashem. But you know something? There's something even greater. And no one's gonna send out a WhatsApp for this. There's something even greater, far, far superior totally off the charts home run is to this Shabbos. You have an opportunity to say Birchos Hamozayn with Ritzei, Yale V'Yavo, and Al Hanisim. The greatest skula in the world, time-honored, proven, tested, is to bench kehalacha, to recite Birchos Hamozayn kehalacha, slow and clear. And that's the reason why after we say Birchos Hamozayn, we have all the harachamans. It's an eis rotzayn. It's an eis rotzayn. You bench kehalacha of yachalto v'savadu v'erachto as Hashem elokecha. It's an eis rotzayn. Chaperayn. Harachamon huyim loichaleinu liolam v'or harachamon hu yisparach ba'ashamayim v'aretz. We say all these psukim to chaperayn, to the moment, to this moment of rachamim, this incredible moment of rachamim, to chaperayn. So could you imagine when built in, you don't have to wait for the harachamons, built into the very fabric of the Birchos Hamozayn itself?
Well, how do you make the song call louder?
You want to make it louder? Let me see, 1 second.
Yeah.
Safta, do you hear me? Let me, Heshi Klein, do you hear me? Can we get anyone online? Is it loud? Do you hear me loud enough?
Yeah, I hear you.
Okay. Okay, so yeah, maybe you have to look. You love the volume sitting on your computer. Okay, maybe it's the volume sitting on your computer. You have to ask someone there. Maybe they can raise the volume on your local, your computer. Okay, boys, let's go further. This Shabbos, Rabbi Yosef, please. This Shabbos. There's a much, much greater skula than all the WhatsApps about the three Sifrei Torah. And that's is to pay attention that you have an opportunity like none other to bench with all three together. To say, to focus on Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh, and Al Hanisim, all within the fabric of the ultimate skula you can possibly have. So you come to the Shabbos, prepare. Okay, it's like some people, it comes Friday night. Okay, it's time to bench. Don't forget. Ritzei, Yal V'Yavo, Al Hanisim. What? You have to revive them. You have to have smelling salts to revive them. What a shame. What a shame. I'm talking to myself and to everyone here also. What a shame. What a shame. You really have to look forward to it. You have to look, count down the hours until you can make, do that benching. It's a time of divine favor. If ordinarily you would have to fast 20 times and bring upon yourself yisurim, sifugim. Here you don't do nothing. You just sit back and relax and have a little kavana, and automatically Hashem will yimale mishalis libcha l'toiva with very little effort. Okay? It's an incredible opportunity like none other. We should be counting down the hours until we have the opportunity to bench tomorrow night. The whole meal is only for benching. I'm not even hungry. The only reason why I'm eating is because I want this opportunity to be able to say, to bench with all three together. Shabbos day, Shalosh Shuras. It's an incredible, unique opportunity, and we should not waste it. We should not waste it. And when you're going to start seeing messages and start going to hear people in shul, oh, the opening of the Ohr HaKodesh, three Sifrei Torah. Listen, 100%. 100%. It's an Eis Ratzon. Eis Ratzon. And to be mechaven and to daven and to give the oilam more time. Okay, if a rabbi will give you a little speech, give the oilam time to say Berich Shmei. But al achas kama v'kama ben b'noi shel kal v'choymer is when you're going to bench and you're going to be mechaim a mitzvah de oiraisa v'yachalto v'savato v'yirachta, which we know as a fact is the ultimate skula in and of itself. And now to embellish it with Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh, and the Nisim of Chanukah, could you imagine the opportunity? It's awesome. It's an awesome opportunity, and we have to brace ourselves for this opportunity. Okay, let's talk about the davening tomorrow. What is the procedure for the lady? Everyone knows tadir. This is the golden rule. The golden rule is tadir v'she'enoi tadir tadir kaidim. What goes first? Kriyas HaTorah. The parashas hashavu, parashas miketz. What goes next? Tadir v'she'enoi tadir tadir kaidim is the second is Shabbos. The sefer Torah for Shabbos. And what's the last? The nesiim uvayoyim hashishi. Okay, uvayoyim hashishi. It's going to be on Shabbos, the sixth day of Chanukah. Uvayoyim hashishi. Okay. If they make a mistake, by the way, if let's say they make a mistake, no big deal. If they lay in the wrong order, just don't get into a fight. If the poskim say, if they lay in the lay, if they lay, but everyone seems to know this pretty well. That's now you're only allowed to have how many aliyos? Let's assume we're not going to have hoisafis. Let's make so how many aliyos are there going to be in the first Sefer Torah?
Six.
Which two aliyahs do you combine? So here, right, Tez is very interesting. The mina ko'olam, probably 99% of the population who only lane seven aliyahs, many shuls have hoisafis, I'm talking about a shul that only lane seven aliyahs, will combine aliyah number six with aliyah number seven. So when you get to shishi, you go all the way to the end. Rabbi Tezner, he writes here, I don't know, he's a very big poysik, he says there's really no need for that. You can combine any two aliyahs you want. Okay, I never saw that. Everywhere you go, I go, they always combine. He says also, the oilam, meaning oilam is to combine six and seven, but technically there's no requirement, bedafka, six and seven. If whatever the reason is, you want to combine number three and four, or number one and two, okay, but that's not the minig oilam. The minig oilam is you combine together aliyah number six and number seven together. So you finish six aliyahs. What is the very next step you do? We have a gabbai over here. We have a gabbai emeritus. Once a gabbai, always a gabbai, a baruch. The next thing, you correct me if I'm wrong, is you put down the second Sefer Torah on the bima immediately. You don't say Kaddish. There is no Kaddish. After you finish six aliyos, you combine six and seven, you put down after he makes the bracha achreina, asher nosam lanu teras hames v'chayelam tabas achreina berachat Hashem nosein ha-toyra. No hag b'glil yet. First thing is to put...
That's direct. And also not to make the mishabera for the oil. You make the mishabera for the oil when you call the next aliyah.
Right. Before the next aliyah. That's very important. Now, after, first hag b'glil. Right, but before Hagba Galila, people make this mistake. Before you do Hagba Galila, you put the Sefer Torah on the bima. You don't do Hagba Galila until you have a new Sefer Torah on the bima. Now, which side do you put it on? So the truth, no, the right. Baruch, what do you put on the right?
It's debatable. Okay, it's very debatable. I just saw a dish this year.
Yeah.
That it says that the second Sefer Torah should be on the left-hand side.
Ooh, the left-hand side.
This is what they wrote.
Okay. And Dershub and Shem who?
This way, it's right in front of the Baal Torah, right in front of the God.
Okay, who do they say this in the name of?
I have to look into it.
Okay, because I remember I have a fantastic Sefer on Hilchos Kriyas HaTorah, and from Bells. This is Bells, and it's not just about the minhagim in Bells, but general a lot of things. And they seem to be very, if I remember correctly, it was a surprise to me. They seem to be have a hakpada bedafka to put it on the right.
Maybe
on the right side. No, their balkar is on the left side because the right is always more choshev. When you go and you bring up a new Sefer Torah to the bima, you bring it up, you mechabed it. You don't bring it up for bezayin. You put it on the right side. That's how I remember. Maybe I'm mistaken. And Baruch is saying that in the Dirshu Mishnah Berurah, which is very good, the Dirshu Mishnah Berurah, the stuff there has been really sifted and really analyzed very well. They write that the minig is to put it on the left. We have to check it out. Okay, I think when I used to daven, they don't really pay attention to what they're doing. It just so happened. I think they just by accident they would always put on the left side. So when I lane, I don't always lane. When I get an opportunity to lane, and I put on the right side. I always put on the right side. Yeah. The new lechem upon him, they slid it in, slid it out. They slid it.
The new one was
slid in from the right side. When you're facing the wall.
Someone brings
Interesting. Okay, so it's debatable. As Reb Baruch said, it's an interesting day, but one thing is for sure, before you do Hag Bagli, there's no Kaddish. Before you do Hag Bagli, because normally you'll say you're beginning Kaddish. So before you do Kaddish, you put down the Sefer Torah either on the right or the left, whatever the minig is, and then you do Hagba Galila. And now you call Ya'amoid, you call up, after you do Hagba Galila, you call Ya'amoid, the seventh Aliyah, which is going to be Rosh Chodesh. Once it's Rosh Chodesh, you already say Uviyam HaShabbos, that's the Milo, when it's Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh, you get this, also you get to lane the Parish of Shabbos. So you call Ya'amoid, and then you do the Mishaberach for the Mishaberach for the Shishi. Okay, after you finish Shishi, get Shvi? No. A Kohen or Levi cannot get the seventh Aliyah. Absolutely not. The Kohen or Levi can only get an Acharon, which means if there's a Hoysofa, or Maftir. But a Kohen Levi cannot get from the Shiva Olam. The Shiva Olam, he only gets the first Aliyah. The Levi gets a second Aliyah, and the remaining five go Bedafka only 2 years from, no matter what. There is a din of Shiva Olam. Seven people are called to the Torah, and the Shiva Olam have to be the latter five must be Yisraelim. An Acharon can go to our minhag. Not everyone even agrees with that. Our minhag is though that everyone will give without a blink of an eye, they'll give a Kohen or a Levi Acharon, and Maftir as well will give an Acharon. There are some kilos, it seems, that will not give even an Acharon, a Hoysofa, to a Kohen or Levi, but again, that's not common. It's common is that's different. That's a different story. Ir shakulu kehanim, then you give. No choice. Then you give. That's a different story. That's unique. But if you have one Yisrael, it's a game changer. Unless you tell that Yisrael to leave. They do. Because the shalat bracha levatala. Only one does it. All right. Okay. Okay, so now we laid Shvi. After Shvi, what do you do next? After you finish Shvi, you now put, you put on the bima the third Sefer Torah.
On the right?
Well, whatever you do, that's the machloikis, that's the debate. Do you put the Sefer Torah on the right or on the left? Ask Yankee what he does. Okay, ask him find him a car. Ask him what is his Mesorah. Right, you put on the after you put on the third Sefer Torah, Yiskadal v'Yiskadash Shmei Rabo. Now I told you, you only put on the Bima the third Sefer Torah, and that's what it says in the Mishnah Brura explicitly. When not in the halachas of Chanukah, but the halachas of when Shabbos Achodesh, Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, Parshas Achodesh. Parsha Chodesh, it can come out that Rosh Chodesh Nisan is on Shabbos, and it's Rosh Chodesh, and you have three Sefer Torah. So the Mishnah Berurah explicitly says that you only, when you say Kaddish, you only put the third Sefer Torah. There is a minhag, and this is already documented. There is a minhag. I remember this as a child, and I told you stories about this, but I remember this in the Lower East Side. I talk to Mamash, I have a memory of this. There's a minhag that when you say Kaddish, before you say Kaddish, you bring back even Sefer Torah number one. When you say the Chatzi Kaddish after you finished, you bring back to the Bima Sefer Torah number one, and when you're going to say Yiskadal v'Yiskadash Shmei Rabo, you're going to have on the Bima all three Sifrei Torah. This is not common anymore, because we live in a Mishnah Berura generation and an Ezra's Torah Luach generation, and they are the Pesach Acharon. And if it doesn't say it in the Ezra's Torah Luach and it doesn't say it in the Mishnah Berura, it's just not going to happen. And in the Ezra's Torah Luach and in the Mishnah Berura, I think it says Nezra Luach, I think it says it there, it says you only put on the Bima Sefer Torah number three. And then you say Yiskadal v'Yiskadash Shmei Rabo, because the Kaddish has nothing to do with the Sefer Torah. The Kaddish is just the end with Mafsik between this part, between the Shiva Kruyim and the Maftir. It has nothing to do with the Sefer Torah per se. You're not saying Kaddish. You didn't kill the Sefer Torah. You're not saying a Kaddish. No, you, no, you're not doing the Sefer Torah. Don't do the Sefer Torah. You're not saying Kaddish on the Sefer Torah.
You're saying Kaddish on the
laning. Okay? However, I'm telling you, it's interesting. However, there's something to it. Ask about Kriya. There's something to it, to bringing back Sefer Torah number one. and you say the Kaddish when all the Sifrei Torah are on the Bima.
Rabbi Halberstam was marked only to do an Adam with him. He used to say, because if you want to make a Mishbera for the toilet, all the Sifrei Torah should be on the Shulchan.
Yeah, that's what he said. That's what he said. Oh, that's a very interesting idea. That's interesting. It's not because... Wow, that's an interesting idea. Since he's saying Mishbech for the Cholim. Okay. Like I said, this is not done. Today you're not going to see this happen anymore. Come on, unless you're in some shtibel, whatever, you're not going to see this happen. You only make Kaddish on when number two, number three on the Bima. Like I told you, there is no question about it. There is a minug that all three are put back on the Bima. Rabbi Yeski is giving a whole different time. It's because if you're going to make other Mishabers for Cholim, maybe there's going to be a little bit of a Hefsik, a shtickle, you know, people are like during Yiskar. So, you want the zechus of all the Sefer Torah to be there. Sefer Torah being there. All right, so there are other ideas that go into this equation. After you say the Kaddish, then you do Hagba Galila, and then you call up Maftir, and you make a Mishaberach for the previous Oyla, and you lane the third Sefer Torah, which is from Parashas Nosoi. After you've lane Parashas Nosoi standard, you do Hagba Galila, And then after Hagba Galila, you lane the Maftir. Now, which Maftir? Do you lane the Maftir from the Parashas HaShavua?
Also, one more thing that the Gabbai should lane for is the people who are Hagba Galila should push those and open the side.
Okay, so that's a general. That's something which could happen every single week. There are three of them. So there are many. There are many poiskim that are not makpid on this at all. The question is the people you all see it in shul where they lane from a chumash. It's very common. They don't lane them. The one who does the maftir from the chumash does not lane facing the oroin, but he lanes from the side. He lanes from the side where the gabbai stands. Either the gabbai rishon, the gabbai sheni. He lanes from the side. Why is that so? So the common understanding is because you don't want to put your back to the sefer Torah. The sefer Torah, because the one who did hagba galila. He's sitting generally right behind the bima. So therefore, the person that's going to be laying the Haftorah, it's disrespectful for him to lay in the Haftorah with his back towards the one that's sitting with the Sefer Torah. Okay, that's why it's very common in a shul where they lay on the side. Now, many shuls today, not many, but there are shuls today that lay in the Haftorah from parchment, from cloth. And then you can't lay from the side, because there's a person who's making the bracha. It's just not practical. You can't go lane. You can't have the one that's going to be laning the haftarah and the one that's making the bracha facing the side. It doesn't work like that. So then, what do they do? They do either one of two things. Either they ask the one that does hagba galila not to sit right behind the beam, but to sit on the side. So the one that is laning the haftarah does not have his back to him, or it doesn't make a difference. It's not considered to be disrespectful, because you're not disrespecting, you're laning, you're reading from the Nevi'im. No one in the shul perceives your behavior to be disrespectful, no different than when a rabbi gives a drasha, he faces the tzibur, and his back is to the Aron HaKodesh. No one's going to say the rabbi is disrespectful to the Aron HaKodesh when he's standing in front of the Aron HaKodesh and he's facing the Olam. In fact, that's the reason why the minhag is for the rabbi to kiss the Pareiches. Why does the rabbi kiss the Pareiches when he comes up to speak? Is because since he will, I remember Rav Pam Zeches, I remember very clear, Rav Pam used to speak very often in the Beis Medrash. The main Beis Medrash, he would speak in Tarvadas, they would in the afternoon, whenever there was a yard site. There were many times when Rav Pam would dress the entire Beis Medrash in the afternoon. And it was very distinct. When he got up to speak, Tarvadas, a very big stage. Would go up the staircase, he'd come and he would go all the way up to the Oroin, he would kiss the Oroin HaKodesh, and then would come to the podium and speak. Why does he... You don't have the problem. Okay, so you don't have the problem. But
the same thing with the places where you sit for half the Hagba Galila, it's off
to the side. So then you don't have the problem. But
with the background of this is very simple also by the Yekdis, they have a minhag for the Chosan Kala when they get married to face, because they didn't accept the Chasan Sofer about not having
chugas amim. Chugas amim.
And you don't want the chusin kalot to have their backs to the
aron. Or not kodesh, you bedafka face the aron. You bedafka face the aron. Okay, so this is the big topic, that not to put your back to aron kodesh. That's why the rabbanim, they kiss the pareches to show that when I'm speaking, when I'm putting my back to the aron, it's, I don't mean chas v'shalom to be disrespectful. There's just no other way to do it. There's no other way for me to address the olam unless I stand over here, and I don't mean to have any disrespect. So many pious, my soul, as many pious can they say, it's not disrespectful for the one that gets hagba to sit right behind the one to sit in the seat right behind the bima, even though that means that the one that's going to get the next aliyah, if there's two Sifrei Torah or three Sifrei Torah with their back, it's not that they're going to have their back to the one that gets Hagba Galila. Menachem and Chaim Berlin, when they do Hagba Galila, what do they sit on the side? They sit to push them to the side. Push to the side. Okay, where it's possible to push to the side, obviously that's a hiddur to do so. But it's not a requirement. Okay, it's not a requirement. Sometimes just not practical. Where I daven on Shabbos, there's very little space between the bima and the first table. So I tell the guy, get out of here. It's either me or you. There's just not enough room for both of us to be in this spot. You do your Hagba Galila, get out of here. Take the Sefer Torah and move to the side, because we have to go to the next, and you're in the way. You're just basically in the way. But if you have more space, so then if you, it's, there are different minhagim. Some shuls are totally not makbid on this. Totally, it's not even. They put on the beam for what? Yeah, on a regular Shabbos. And the one he lanes the haftar while the sefer Torah is on the bima. Interesting. Okay, I never saw that. Interesting. There must be a reason. Okay, there must be a reason. Rav Moshe is so against that, you can't imagine. Rav Moshe is a very stark tshuva. Rav Moshe says, if no one wants to hold the Sefer Torah, put it back in the urn. Put it back in the urn. Do not use those holders. Do not.
It's unbelievable. It brings down the Chassam Sefer, with the Chassam Sefer's son, that he allowed
to be the holder.
I just can't believe that Rav Moshe didn't know that.
And Moshe, who says he didn't know it? Who says he didn't know it? You have to understand, Rav Moshe, there were a lot of things Rav Moshe did. He saw, he came to America, and in America there's a whole discussion about this. That Rav Moshe, when it comes to Hilchah Shabbos, Rav Moshe was, yeah. Rav Moshe knew everything. And the holders. Okay? It's hard to say that Rav Moshe didn't know Chassam Sefer. Rav Moshe was a genius, photographic memory. Rav Moshe knew everything. It could be that Rav Moshe, after sometimes when he gave Piske Halacha, it was embellished with the needs of the time. He came to America, it's a very, very common topic of discussion. He came to America, and people were very lax in Kavanat Torah, very lax. And there's sometimes, maybe he felt, you know, you have to be Mechasic people. They should appreciate the Sefer Torah is not a sack of potatoes. And it could be he felt he had bad experience with something like that. He had bad experience with something like that, and he felt that it's just not their cheretz. I don't know. I have really no idea.
The first thing he got involved in really was the carrying on Shabbos, because they say in those days in Manhattan, they carried people. Manhattan was an area.
That was a big issue. I know my father showed the young Gizhov Avenue J, they had the holes, they had the holder for the Sefer Torah. And it was very, very nice. It was very nice, it was very elaborate and a nice like a check on the bank. It was nice things to keep it in place. And the early years they put the Sefer Torah in the holder. And then a few years after my father was Rav, my father I don't know if he became aware of it or he changed his mind, and he did not let. And for almost all the years, they were very makbid. I remember the Gabbai, they were very makbid. My father was very makbid on this. Is that after Hagba Galila, the Goylel, the Magbia would hold the Sefer Torah in that seat for the entire duration of the Haftarah. They were very makbid on this. And then there also became another thing they were makbid on, is that they used to take out, it was a beautiful ceremony. They take out the Sefer Torah, and they would give the children the Keser and the Choshen and the Yad to put on the Sefer Torah. Okay, we just lost our audience over here online. Okay, I don't know what happened over here. Okay, they're coming back now. They're coming back.
It's a sit down with the holders.
Recording in process. Here we go. Hey, sorry about that. Something happened over here. Don't worry about the recording in progress. It's only for training purposes.
Okay. To sit down with somebody holding you.
Doesn't seem, no, doesn't seem like. You have to sit down. You have to sit down and hold this inventory itself. He says, if no one wants to hold it, put it back in the yard. Nothing that my father was very machmen on after he changed after many years is they would take out the sefer. They would give children the kinderlach, the keser, and the choshen and the yad. And after they would sing Shema, right before Shema Yisrael, Hashem, you're like a real spitz young Israel. I grew up with this, right? Okay, young Israel. When I was a little kid, until I rebelled. Okay, Shema, what? Chaim Blin.
Oh, on the east side,
it's Tzire Agudas Yisrael. It was on top of the Polish Shtiebel, on East Broadway. It's still there. The shul is still going. The shul is still going, I guess so. I don't know. Okay, on the second floor. Okay, so they used to give it to the children. So it was a whole ceremony. And then, I don't know who changed my father's mind. It became where, what happened was that the person who got the Sefer Torah would always bend down very, very low with the Sefer Torah in order to enable the children to put on the choshen, because the kids can't reach. So they would bend all the way down, and the kids would put on the keser and the choshen. So, of course. So it wasn't really, so I don't know, my father didn't think it was proper, because it's not, you should bring the kids up. You don't take the Sefer Torah down. The kids should be brought up. So for Tekufa, they would tell the people, pick up the kids. So they would. I remember, I have vision. They would pick up the kids. There was some adult holding the child, picking up the kid, and the kid put the keser. They tried that for a Tekufa, and then the parents got too old. And they couldn't pick up the kids anymore. They couldn't pick up the kids anymore. So, chaval, right? How sad. So it just went back to the old thing. They would end up bending the Sefer Torah. So my father didn't like that, so he canceled the whole thing. He stopped the whole thing, and they put on the keser and the choshen before in the yard, because it was too much when they started lowering it down. It wasn't proper. Okay, there was two examples of Kavod HaTorah. Let's go further. So over here, we're up to, so therefore you lay in which Haftarah do you lay in? So now it comes, you do Hag B'Galila, and now we lay in the Haftarah, which Haftarah you lay in the Haftarah of Chanukah. You do not lay in the Haftarah of the Parash of Shavua. You don't lay in the Haftarah of, you come on, do you ever lay in the Parash of Miketz? Do you ever lay in the Parash of Haftarah, Parash of Miketz?
Yeah, but it only comes by Yeshiv. The Shabbos Chanukah could be by Yeshiv only.
But then it's both.
It happened?
Yeah?
No, it happened recently.
Yeah, okay. So you lay in the part. So this part, you have competition. You have three different haftarahs that are vying for attention. Either the parashas haShavua, it's in the Chumash, or Rosh Chodesh haShemaim Kisi, Loretz Adam Ragli, or Roni Akora Lo Yalada. Okay, Zechariah, the Menorah of Zechariah. Who wins? Who wins? Zechariah wins. Zechariah Roni V'Simcha. That's what you give the guest. You give the guest. The guest gets the best. Okay, you give the guest. Even though, why? Tadir v'she'ena, tadir kardim. So what's the answer? There are two answers. Answer number one is, persume nisa trumps all. Very nice. Tadir v'she'ena, tadir. Persume nisa, that has kadima. Number two, we generally, lane, the haftarah is always me'ain the maftir. If you have a new Sefer Torah that's brought to the Bima, a new Sefer Torah, there's a Maftir, the Haftarah should be Me'ain from the Maftir. Now, what happens if you make a mistake and you read the wrong Haftarah? Some shuls, you don't even know what's going on. You can learn this week, they can learn Parashas Vayetze, no one knows the difference. You think only the joke of when they call up someone for Chamishli and he does Hagba? That's nothing. What happens if the Baal Kriya, he lanes this week Parashas Vayetzeh, and no one even realizes he laned the wrong parasha? That also happens. Okay, so let's say they lane the wrong Haftorah, it's okay. If you lane the wrong Haftorah, you don't do it again. It's done. Mashahoya, Kvarhoya, Yoyitzeh, you don't, you're supposed to lane the Rani Akara, but if you lane the wrong Haftorah, lane. Now, here's an interesting question. What happens? This also an Ibaya Deloy Ifshita. What would you say? Let's say you only have in a shul two Sifrei Torah. Which Sefer Torah should you be goylel for the third Sefer Torah? Should you be goylel once we do Hagba Galil and Sefer Torah number one, we'll take it into the back room, we'll take it into the back room, and we'll get it ready for Hanukkah? Or no, that's not nice. Don't, once you Hagba Galil, you don't take it into the back room. This, the second after you finish learning from the second Sefer Torah, then you goylel the second Sefer Torah on the spot. It's not so far from Pinchas back to Parashas Nosoi. So it's very common. A lot of shuls don't have three Sefer Torah. So Rabbi Tizner, who's a great poisek, he says here that it's basically better the second option. Don't go take the first Sefer Torah out into the back room and be goylel it and then bring it back. You already did Hagba Galil on it. This person is holding it. You lay in the second Sefer Torah, it's in Parashas Pinchas, and now when he finishes his Aliyah, then you go and you say Kaddish, you just say, you have the Sefer Torah, number, it's on the beam already, you make a Chatzi Kaddish, and now you goyel it to Parashas Nosoi. The second Sefer Torah is the Sefer Torah you're going to use for the third Sefer Torah. You don't take the first. However, he says, but if you really want to go take out the first Sefer Torah and go begoil it, is if it's easier. Why would it be easier? I don't know. If it would be easier, doesn't say why would it be easier? There's no harm. You can do it also. There's no halacha. He writes here, there's no halacha as what to do, which one should be Sefer Torah number three. You should dafka use number one, or you should use number two. He says, it would appear to be number two is the better option. For whatever reason, you want to go use number one, you know, it's a little wild. Okay, then that's the maftir. Okay, obviously, so and anything else that we left out about the Kriya? There are three Sefer Torahs, are very, very unique, three Sefer Torah, and then... So then you have no choice. Then obvious, and it's obvious. Then no, the order doesn't change. The order is always the same order. Order is first Parashas HaShavua, then is Rosh Chodesh, and then is Hanukkah. The order never changes. And it doesn't matter. You're saying, you're asking a good question. If you go, you're going to pass Parashas Nosa. You hear what you're saying? You're making a very good point, because the truth is there is such a thing when it comes to Parashas Shkolim. There is a precedent for what you said. There is such a thing. I don't remember the details. You're asking a very tough question. But it seems that you nevertheless, Todir v'she'ene Todir Kodim, since there are going to be three things that are going to be read, and you also want to lay in the maftir of Rani, the Haftorah of Rani Akaro Lo Yolod.
Where it comes into play is Shabbat Shuvah with the Haftorah and Trey Yosef.
What?
Is it Rani V'Simchi and
Yes.
I'm sorry, Rani V'Simchi? So what am I saying? Rani Akor, I made him say, right, that's Parashas Akef. I'm sorry, I'm thinking about the Shivda Nechemta. I'm sorry. It's the Haftorah Parashas Noyach.
Right.
It's the Haftorah of...
No, Parashas
Baal Oisra
is...
I'm sorry. What am I saying? Baal Oisra, I'm sorry. Baal Oisra. It's the Haftorah Parashas Baal Oisra. Rani Akor is Parashas, what is it? It's Kiseitze and Noach. And Rani V'Simchi is the Haftorah of Parashas Baal Oisra. I'm sorry. Zechariah, the menorah of Zechariah. Okay. So this is now, okay, now let's very quickly, our time, Erev Shabbos, just to jump very, very quickly, Erev Shabbos, what do you do first? Shabbos candles or Hanukkah candles? Hanukkah candles go first. Hanukkah candles go first, because once you light Shabbos candles, it's like your Makabel Shabbos. You know, you're really not Makabel Shabbos. It's really your wife that's Makabel Shabbos. But we want to preserve some semblance of order in the bayis. So first are Hanukkah candles, and then are Shabbos candles. And it's very interesting. Let's say a woman, there's some very good women out there, and they light Shabbos candles very early, because they want to be mispalo, and they light Shabbos candles very early. And their husbands are always running late. So if she's going to wait for her husband to come and light the Hanukkah candles, the husband has a tendency to light the Hanukkah candles literally 2 minutes before Shkia. and the wife is a tzaddikus, and she lights her Shabbos candles 30 minutes before Shkia. So the halach is the wife does not have to wait for her husband. A woman can light her Shabbos candles early and say all the tefillos, it's perfectly fine, and she can be mekabel Shabbos, and then her husband can come. Husband's not mekabel Shabbos. When the wife lights Shabbos candles, the only one that's mekabel Shabbos is the wife, not the husband. And then the husband can come along later, and he can light the Chanukah candles, and she can answer Amen, and she can be yoytzei ner Yishu Beisa. Oh, it's Tarte de Sasre. She was mekabel Shabbos, and now after it's Shabbos, we're going backwards to Friday. Don't chap me. Don't chap us on diktuk. Don't get us. It's okay. Not necessarily. Not necessarily, because and there's a whole shaila, even if her tanai even works. The tanai is only to be made in extreme circumstances, where she needs to travel. And it's only the tzarch mitzvah. The whole shaila of Shamos Zaman Abach, taking a taxi to the Kosel is not a mitzvah. So a woman should not make a tanai. I'm going to light the Shabbos candles and get into a taxi and go to the Kosel HaMaravi. Or I'm going to go in a taxi and go to my in-laws. Yeah. It's not so simple that even a tanai even works, because a woman, when she lights candles, stamazoy, she's mekabel Shabbos. In extreme circumstances, she can make a tanai. But you don't need a tanai here. She doesn't need to hold back. She can be mekabel Shabbos, and the husband can then light Chanukah candles later. And even though it's Tarte de Sastre, Tarte de Sastre never held us back from anything. So it's Tarte de Sastre. Tarte de Sastre, it's not the end of the world. So she was mekabel Shabbos. And now she's not doing a malacha. She's not doing any malacha. The husband is lighting the candles. He's the Ikra Bayis, and she's Yoytzei with him. And she answers Amen. And that's her Mekima Mitzvah, even though she already was mekabel Shabbos. Tough Shaila. Let's say the husband is late, and it's already after Shkia. What are you going to do now? Think of the bizoyin for Shaduchim. People are going to come by, and they say, you know, this family, they have a daughter in Shaduchim. Oh, let's see what their dining room table looks like. Let's see the chandelier they have. They're going to come by Friday night to see if the prospective sheikh, they go see. And guess what? They come, and the window's not open. You know why it's not open? Because the father is so embarrassed. He didn't light Chanukah candles. Why didn't he light Chanukah candles? Because he's late. And the time he got around lighting the Chanukah candles, his wife says, it's already past Shkia. Chilul Shabbos. You're not allowed to light after Shkia, no matter what. Even though you're Rabbeinu Tam, from today until tomorrow, you don't light Chanukah candles after Shkia Friday night. What do you do? What do you do, Mark? What are you going to do? What's this guy going to do? Pikuach nefesh, shaduchim. People have to see his beautiful Shabbos table, the chandelier. What is he going to do? So there's a solution, which is not such a good solution. Ask a goy to light the Chanukah candles. Now, that is a loaded statement I just said. A goy? You're going to ask a member of Yavon to light the Chanukah menorah? It's Kineged Kol HaChanukah Kula. Bishlema, what happens if the wife, what is the halach if a woman forgets to light Shabbos candles? What happens if, no, but let's say she has still, there's still time. Don't go make her without another candle right away. What's the halach of a wife forgets to light Shabbos candles? Goy, get a goy. As long as it's still Bein HaShemashos. Certainly for the first 13 minutes. Monkey make leaving up to 30 minutes, 40 minutes. You want to be makel? You get a goy to light the Shabbos candles. The goy lights the Shabbos candles. She makes the bracha, and she doesn't have the knas the rest of her life of lighting. Could she make a bracha? I think she can still make a bracha also, if I'm not mistaken. Bein Hashmosh. I'm not even sure. I don't remember anymore. Yes. Bein Hashmoshos. Bein Hashmoshos. Otherwise, she's finished. There's no Amir Lakum does not apply Bein Hashmoshos. There's no din amiru la'akum bein hashmashes. Okay? There's no din amiru la'akum bein hashmashes. So, I can't believe my phone is ringing. It works. The phone doesn't work. All of a sudden it works. Okay, the bein hashmashes, there's no amiru la'akum shodif on near shamas. You can tell a goy to light. But can you tell a goy to light Chanukah candles bein hashmashes? Why not? Hanukkah is for us. Oh, you'll tell me, but Shabbos is also for us. Shabbos ki oisi beni uveinechem. It's not for a goy Shabbos. And yet, lechatchila, you can ask a goy to light the Shabbos candles and she makes the bracha and she's okay. But Hanukkah epis is different. Hanukkah, the goyim are trying to destroy us. Shabbos, it's an ois. No one's trying to destroy you on Shabbos. Shabbos is an ois, beni uveinechem. But Hanukkah, it's the Nitzachim. The Yevonim are trying to kill us. They're trying to take away Yadus. It goes against the grain of the whole mitzvah to let a goy light the Hanukkah candles for you, Ben Hashemasha. Is how you talking such a thing? Pile ploim. But mitzat sheni, the agmas nefesh, you're not going to have Hanukkah candles. So Rav Tezner, not Rav Tezner, I saw someone says the halacha is, b'dievet, if you really want, a goy should only light for you one candle. Don't do the hiddur. Don't let the goy do the mahadran. The goy can light for you one candle and no bracha. No bracha. What?
Which candle do you
light? Oh, excellent question. The gra or the marashal? Excellent question. The goy, achman l'san person gets late and he gets really ben ashmashos. The goy can light one candle. There's no mahadran by goyim. One candle and you do not make a bracha. You cannot make a bracha. Shabbos candles, the wife can make a bracha. But Hanukkah candles, at least, Shluchoy Shel Adam is your shliach to light your Hanukkah menorah. If it works, the whole shaila, can you make a shliach? Can a goy be a shliach? It's a whole big blum de shizach. You don't have a choice. It's the only thing, only option on the table is to let the goy light the Hanukkah candle for you, one Hanukkah candle, and that's it. Mitzvah Shabbos, what do you do first? The minhag ha'olam is at home. The minhag ha'olam at home is Havdalah first. Ruba, not everyone, but Ruba, the Ruba, the Ruba. Today, the minhag ha'olam is at home, you do Havdalah first, and then you light Hanukkah candles, and you should not delay, because the Zman is right away. You should light, do come home, no dilly-dallying, no Kiddush Levana. There's no Kiddush Levana. Okay, no, that's a joke, because it's not Shai Kiddush Levana. Anyway, this time, you go home right away. Come right away, no dilly-dallying, you do Havdalah, and right after Havdalah, you light Hanukkah candles, and the person should make all of, Peskim say, all of the preparations that you need to make should be made before Shabbos for Mitzvah Shabbos. You shouldn't have to go to the store and buy more candles for Mitzvah Shabbos. You should have everything ready to go, Mitzvah Shabbos, so you swap out, swap in, and so there's no delay because the Zman is as early as possible. And you have no, it's Shabbos, Chol Shabbos, you have a choice. You have to do it as soon as possible. And many places can say, whatever Zman you do on a regular Mitzvah Shabbos, that's what you do on Shabbos. Don't go be Mekel. Okay, I know there's an Eretz Yisrael might be different, but Bederech Klal, whatever your Zman is, if on a regular Shabbos you wait 50 minutes, so you do it right 50 minutes. If you do 72, whatever your Zman is the whole year round, in America, certainly, that's what you do. You should not go and, oh, I'm going to go do it earlier or do it later. Just follow your ordinary routine and do it immediately. In Eretz Yisrael, there's a whole sugya of people that are machna, Rabbeinu Tam in Eretz Yisrael, that might be different. But in America, there's no such thing. In America, whatever you do on a regular Mitzvah Shabbos, that's what you should do, Shabbos Hanukkah, not more, not less. And Ma'ariv, Havdalah, and then Hanukkah candles. Okay, we'll stop over here.